Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Margaret Gardner is a South African-born fashion editor, former Miss Universe, an advocate for mental health and body positivity. Since her reign as Miss Universe in 1978, Margaret has used her platform to raise awareness on issues such as online bullying, mental health, and the pressures of public life. She continues to be a powerful voice in the fashion and beauty industry, offering a unique perspective on self-empowerment and resilience. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solid Gold Podcasts in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, discussing her journey in the entertainment and creative world and her latest book, Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar, is Margaret Gardner. Joining me today, we have got Margaret Gardner.
Hello, world. I hope you stay for a very fascinating conversation.
Absolutely. So let's dive into this fascinating conversation straight away. You've had multiple elements in the creative space, the entertainment space. So let's rewind to the very beginning. At what age did you think, okay, understanding that you entered in the South African Miss Universe, what was the inclination to do that?
South Africa was excluded from the Miss World pageant due to the politics of the day. Report had the first multinational, international pageant with the destination Universe rather than Miss World. Mm-hmm. I was an 18-year-old international model. I was discovered at the age of 16 and invited to Paris to model. So I already had a base established. And the Afrikaans newspaper Report, who was sponsoring the event, asked me to enter the pageant to help propagate it. So I called my agent in Italy, and I said, I'll be 3 weeks. And I landed up winning the small three-day pageant, which was now called Miss RSA. And so I called my agent in Italy, and I said, I'm going to be delayed another 3 weeks. I'm going off to Mexico. And they said, well, good luck. And I ended up winning that one. So it was never an ambition ever.
And winning it as part of that journey of doing that separate to being a model, were there any aspects around the pageantry thing that actually surprised you that was like, oh, I never knew that this is part of it?
Well, I had given zero thought to what a pageant was.
Okay.
So, but there were aspects that having been an international model helped me with. For instance, I was accustomed to being photographed. As a young person, I had been boycotted because of my country's politics. Mm. So I understood how some international people would react to me. And I was a pretty confident person and felt that I could represent my country with honor. No matter how other people framed it, I believe that there were aspects to South Africa, and I believe that too today. The people of South Africa are amazing. Okay. we innovate. We are very creative and we are multidimensional. Mm. And people don't know that about the tip of Africa. Come down and see us.
Oh, yes. Hashtag drop that mic. I love that. Having done the pageant, winning Miss Universe, how did that title or the experience lead you to different paths in the industry?
It was interesting because it took a year of my life. Mm. You contracted out. But it was an incredible experience. As Miss Universe, you get to go around the world and meet people who range from every culture and background. And when you arrive at the airport, they ask you questions about the controversies of their country. So what I did, and I'm sure the others do too, is I would read about the country I was about to visit so that if they asked me a question, I'd have an informed opinion. I was a natural history buff, and I also love talking to people,
yes.
not talking about myself,
yes.
but finding out about other people. Mm. So it was just a joy. And I also love food. So, you know, you travel the world, you get the best food. What's not to love?
What are the next steps? What was your choice to say, okay, I'm doing this after Miss Universe? Did it naturally paths open up in... Or was it a thought, I'm actively going to think about doing this? Or did the next steps just develop as you moved forward?
I had wanted to be a writer always. I also wanted to finish my education. So I was smart enough to understand that the leverage that you get as someone holding a title like Miss Universe, it opens doors. Mm. So I stayed in New York for... I think it was 5 years. I lived with my first runner-up, Miss USA. She had been the favorite in the pageant. And typically, everybody thought that we would hate each other.
Oh, yeah.
We became best friends. We lived together in New York for 5 years. And in this day and age, they would have created a reality show about yes. us because we had so much fun. And I wanted to finish my education. I got a degree, a Bachelor of Science degree, in America. And then I returned to South Africa and was a talking head on Good Morning South Africa. And I directed and wrote television segments for magazine programs here.
Talking head, what does that mean?
That means a talking head is the person behind the desk.
Okay. Okay, understood.
A host.
Yes, understood. What's the difference between just presenting and hosting compared to when you're directing it as well?
I think that you have to be really on your toes. You have to be able to speak concisely. Have a beginning, middle, and end to your sentences and be able to convey information in a way that entertains, informs, and keeps the fascination of the listener. Don't go away. Pretend I'm doing that now. Okay. As a director, you have to oversee that all other technical aspects, as well as the person in front of the camera, is doing their job. So ins and outs, lights, backgrounds, noises in the background, getting the guest, the technical aspects.
Did you ever do it at the same time, direct
yes.
and then present
yes.
and host? What was the decision to say for yourself, okay, I want to start directing?
Well, actually, I've been so fortuitous because I was a talking head, a guest presenter on television. One of the people who did television programs, segments for magazines, asked me to come and present for her. And then once we worked together, we really liked each other. And then she said, would you like to write some episodes? And then she introduced me to editing. And one day she couldn't turn up and she said, would you like to direct? So my answer to any question where I will learn and grow and stretch is, yes, please, may I?
I love that because so many people fear learning because they see their comfort zone and it's like, oh, I now need to step out of this comfort zone. What does that mean? There are a whole bunch of things I don't know. It's interesting because I teach spinning classes and the regulars who've been coming to spinning for years always goes to their bike. The bikes are not pre-booked or any type of situation. But if someone is in their bike,
they're very unhappy.
Who's in my bike? How dare they? So many people are not open because they're so scared of being pushed out of that. But it's lovely to be open to that and say, okay, let's learn.
Well, I've never been qualified for anything I've done. Everything that I've been asked to do, I've brought my innate intelligence, ambition, empathy and excitement of life too. And I've learned on the job. I think if you love other people, if you want to create excitement, if you believe in opportunity, why not step into it and try? What's the worst thing that can happen?
Exactly.
You can fail. And if you fail, you can learn. Exactly. And you can improve. And you can try all over again. Don't be afraid of failure.
Well, I actually don't ever think of anything as a failure, because if you've learned from it, how can you say it was a failure? Because you've learned.
So we are definitely simpatico.
Yeah. Being in the industry for a number of years.
50 years.
50 years.
I am now 65.
Well, how do you think technology, social media, all those different elements has changed things?
It's changed dramatically. Before, all you had to do if you were a reporter was ask really good questions, get something unexpected, and write a wonderful article. Today, a reporter has to be able to do everything. And even if you are the best reporter, you also have to have a social media following.
Yeah.
And I work in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles. They are starting to invite influencers onto the red carpet instead of reporters. Yeah. So to anybody out there listening, may I ask you please to follow me, Margaret Gardner _Gardner. Yes, Margaret _Gardner, Instagram. Please.
What are you currently doing in Los Angeles?
I'm working as an entertainment reporter. Okay. I've worn different hats, from fashion editor of the Golden Globes, which deals with the red carpet and all the big stars. I have a YouTube channel, Margaret Gardner Universe. I've helped the Golden Globes when they were bought transition with PR. I've worked in DEI, which is diversity, equity, and, what's the I for? Inclusion.
Yes.
I'm diverse, and the one thing, if anybody asks me to describe myself, is I am not one thing.
You know, the picture I have is we all an octopus. That's our core, and you can have as many tentacles as you want. You can have one tentacle, or you can have 500 tentacles. So Barrett, podcast host, spinning instructor, digital brand manager, son, and you can have as many as you want. The challenge is that a lot of people think they only need to have one or should only have one. So I love seeing that. And my octopus is normally purple. I don't know why.
Somehow I immediately pictured you as a purple octopus. So that's right there. We're right on the money. I have to say that my book is about that very thing. It's about identity. But what the book deals with is projected identity, protective identity, and the vast colors between, because how you self-actualize is also influenced by how others perceive you.
So we're going there.
Ooh.
What was the inclination to say, okay, I want to write a book of this nature?
Okay, so I've written a book called Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar. It is set in the world of modeling, movies, glamour. It includes drugs, alcohol, and copious sex. It, in other words, reflects the world of which I'm writing about. It is set in the 1980s. And while it has froth and fun, it also has a very dark underbelly that deals with power funnels, with how people are manipulated, how we give ourselves away in order to achieve our goals, how things are taken from us when we don't hold onto our boundaries, and how we hang on to friendships and things that no longer serve us. And finally, how we self-damage, the things we say to ourselves, the things that happen to us that we have no control over, that we then go and castigate or blame ourselves for. And I want this book not only to entertain, they say it's a fast read, there's going to be shocking stuff. I also want it to start conversations so people can go, oh, I do that. Or, has this ever happened to you? I want us to get chatty.
That word, chatty. And what was the thought for you to say, okay, I want to go to do this?
So as an entertainment reporter, we're constantly having great conversations with A-list talent. Mm-hmm. And they are exposed to the best and have the best tools. So sometimes in a conversation, a phrase will come out and you go, ooh, that reverberated. I write that down. And because of the life that I've lived a very interesting life. I've modeled all over the world. I've, you know, jumped out of aeroplanes. I've done adventurous things. You also get to meet vulnerable people. In the spotlight, there are a lot of vulnerable people.
Yes.
Because your self-worth is tied up to others' opinion of your self-worth. That's interesting. I'm capable. I'm good at what I do, but it doesn't mean I get a seat at the table. And if you do, they may not let you sit there very long. So there are all these nuances, and all of these truths that I've just mentioned also happen in real life, in other industries, to every person in the world. So a lot of these things were starting to bubble. And I set out to write, you know, The Devil Wears Prada, a light, fluffy, you know, fashion, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And what I got was consequential, deep, let's talk, let's look at some of the shadows of the world. Mm.
During the writing process, were there any aspects of the actual physical writing and the duration, et cetera, that was actually surprising to you, or it just happened naturally?
So I didn't set out to write a book. I had a character in my head. I thought it would fit into the genre of The Devil Wears Prada. And then these characters just have a voice of their own. And Joey was a subsidiary character. She took me to a place often that I didn't want to go. She did things that I disapproved of. She often ignored my cautions and insisted on being who she is. And that's actually an aspect of her in the book. She's so damaged, and she knows that people are going to say that she does these things anyway. She gets there before the other people. Mm. She can prove that she can be whatever she wants to and that nobody can hurt her. And in the process, self-damages. So I just wrote as it came. I didn't edit myself. And then once I realized, okay, I now have over 500 pages, maybe I should stop and say, what do I have?
Okay.
And then it fell into very clear three books. So I have three books. They're about good girls who get treated badly and fight back.
Ooh, I like that.
So each book is called Damaged Beauty, and it focuses on a different character, but all the characters are in all three books.
Oh, okay.
So the Joey superstar that was a subsidiary character in the first book, but made huge contributions to the protagonist in the first book, becomes the star in the second book, and then evolves in the third book. And people have liked her so much, they've asked me to write a fourth book. But I'm going to need people to buy the book. And if it's successful, if you love her, if you love the book, I will bring all of these to you.
The first or second book is out?
So this is the first book.
The first book.
But when I wrote it, it was going to be the second book.
Oh, okay.
But Joey is demanding. I tell you, she will not sit in her place. She was like, wait for them. We'll get to them. Superstar.
Do you think it could be developed into a movie?
So the book had a soft release in America. So it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, mm-hmm. all the big platforms. And people are starting to write about it. And I'm getting 5-star reviews, but they're all saying this would make such a good series. And I think it would. But the third book, if we ever get to the third book, that's going to make a blockbuster movie.
Well,
I just know it. But I don't know if we'll ever see the light of day because, you know, people have to like it.
Well, I'm sure we will.
I hope so too. Go out and buy Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar by me, Margaret Gardner.
So, Margaret, heading back, you mentioned the Golden Globes.
Yes.
How did you get involved with them?
So it's interesting. It's taken on a new aspect now because it's owned by a private company. But at the time, it was a philanthropic organization, and they used the money from the show to generate money for causes that were worthy. And as a journalist in the international sphere, we would often overlap. We'd sit at tables together. And because I'm such a good reporter, also incredibly modest, several people invited me to join. And then you have to show your credentials and do all of that. So I became a Golden Globe member and initially worked on doing set visits and their different committees there were. And then finally, there somebody discovered, oh, wait, you used to model. And I said, I don't talk about it. They said, would you be the fashion editor? Oh. So then I was able to build that out and do things like costume design, speak to designers, showcase people who didn't get an opportunity to be showcased. And it was fascinating, loved it.
So when you say fashion editor, does that mean that you're dressing the presenters or what do you mean?
No, so when the stars walk the red carpet, I would be that person who asks that super intelligent question. Oh. Excuse me, what are you wearing?
Okay.
Who are you wearing?
Out of all the A-listers and people that you've spoken to or interviewed or interacted with on the red carpet, three people that you have as yet to do so who you'd love to.
Oh, gosh. You do know I've been doing this for decades,
yes,
right?
But I'm sure there's some you've missed.
I think I've spoken to almost everyone. Tom Cruise, George Clooney, Angelina Jolie. I just did Ariana Grande, Zendaya. I've done a lot.
Okay.
And let me tell you, people like Zendaya, you know, you look at her and you think, okay, star, yes, she can sing, yes, she can act, yes, she looks gorgeous. And then you sit down and you talk to her and you go, ah, there's some people who are just born to be stars.
Yes.
She's got the whole package.
Yes.
And she's nice. You know, that's interesting.
A lot of them not nice.
Well, no names.
No names.
No names shall roll from these lips. But yes, human nature. Yes.
Okay.
And sometimes the newest, actors are the trickiest. You know, they get quick fame and they haven't yet learned that first of all, it's a symbiotic relationship. And secondly, that today's famous person can be tomorrow's homeless person. It's just that dichotomy exists. You know, you look at Amanda Bynes, who actually, you know, was a child star, gorgeous, very talented. My heart breaks for her because she's the kind of woman that is in my book. She's somebody who has all the ingredients for others to emulate, and she's struggling with mental health issues.
Yes. What do you enjoy about being on the red carpet?
So because of my modeling background, I approach the red carpet differently from most people. I understand the artistry. And after I've asked that dreaded question, who, what, etc., I actually put together the fashion galleries that the world sees that represents the best and most creative.
Yes.
And then I write about them. So in the roll-up to an award show, they're usually parties where you go and you socialize with the stars. Everybody thinks that it's an ego thing that you're getting your pictures. When I'm at a party, I'm going up to the star and saying, I'm going to be on the red carpet. What should I expect you to wear? Please look for me. These are the topics I'm going to be asking you about. It's prep work. Once I'm on the carpet, I try and make the star feel comfortable and not just ask what they're wearing, but what their experience will be, what they've learned from the last time they were there, what happened in the ballroom last time that they don't want to talk about, who they're excited to see, because we see these stars every single day, but they don't work together. They are the star. So they're the biggest person on the movie set. They don't always get to see Meryl Streep.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they come to the Golden Globes and they see Meryl Streep, they're like, even though they're a big star themselves, you know, and she's amazing. She is a big star, but she gets excited about seeing other stars. Yeah. So it's really wonderful.
And that networking thing you mentioned, it just also allows them that when they see you on the red carpet, they feel comfortable. It's like, oh, there's Margaret.
I know her.
Yes. Let's go have a chat. We know we're going to discuss about. There's not going to be any of this clickbait.
Exactly. I'll never ask you, who are you dating?
Yeah.
I'll never ask you anything embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I'll never put you on the spot. There's no joy in that. I've also been on the other side of that. I've been on the red carpet. I've had to answer questions. I just judged the Miss Universe pageant held in Mexico. I was the only Miss Universe who was on the judging panel this year. It was a huge honor. I understand what it's like to be in front, behind, and to want to get there, and to be glad to walk away.
Absolutely. Like, sometimes I look, not saying better or worse, I'm the same. I'm not interested in any of the clickbait or any of that kind of stuff. But I sometimes see questions that people ask, I'm like, how? Like, I want to crawl under the rock, under the chair, just watching that. I'm like, how can you ask that question? It's just so intrusive.
It's interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Ahead.
No, I was finished.
So recently I was bullied on social media, and at my grand age, it was kind of unexpected and I didn't have the tools to deal with it. And it happened like 2 days before I had to interview Nicole Kidman. And I knew the Globes were coming up. I wanted to ask her something I could recut for a red carpet issue for my YouTube channel.
Yes.
So I began by, because it was unconscious. I said, Nicole, you know, I've recently been bullied and I wonder how. And before I could finish my question, she said, Margaret, you weren't bullied. How dare they? And she went off. And, you know, it's on my YouTube channel, but she then finished when she said that, she stays away from social media. She doesn't read what's said. But when she finished, she said, Margaret, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And, you know, it's these like little human moments.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds, when I interviewed him for Daredevil 2, I also wanted to speak
Deadpool.
To
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool, sorry. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Thank you for correcting me. I was talking, I was like, what was the name of that movie? And I had interviewed him for the Green Lantern.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask him, you know, about superheroes, and I had some intricate questions. And I somehow mentioned that I was writing a book and it was all connected. And when he finished, he remembered at the end of a 5-minute interview and said to me, I wish you good luck with your book. And so, you know, it's those human moments.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
There you go. Big star, big heart.
One of my things is, and I learned this a while back, we all use 2-ply toilet paper. No one has gold-plated toilet paper.
3, darling, 3.
There's no gold-plated toilet paper. So whenever I'm interacting with anyone, whether it's yourself.
Oh, my God, now I'm thinking.
Macy Gray, the lady at the checkers counter, the people in my spinning class, I always think to myself, you using 2-ply, 3-ply. I should not wear a mask or present myself or project myself in a different way because this is me and this is how I interact with everyone.
You understand that the pink elephant happens, right?
Remind me, what's that?
If they say, don't think of a pink elephant, you think of one.
Yeah, yeah. I just
when
thought
you,
of
when you, when you spoke about the octopus, I saw you as a purple octopus.
Yeah.
You're now talking about 3-ply toilet paper.
That is just a thing. Because a lot of people see people with a label, like the CEO. It doesn't necessarily have to be entertainment or stars. And they're like, oh, now I need to
change.
No,
a lot of people say they like to see, pretend that they're, the other person is naked, because that makes them less intimidating.
Mm.
But quite frankly, if I see another person naked, I would get more intimidated and not know what to say. So whatever works,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely. I love that. So Margaret, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
You know, a couple of things, because I'm very verbose. First of all, thank you for listening. Please look for the book, Damaged Beauty, Joey Superstar, by Margaret Gardner. But more important, don't target other people. Don't bully other people. Pretend that you are the target that you're writing about, and think about what you would like to be said. Obviously, we read the comments, and it's okay to write something that you think would be helpful, but don't write something that will break them down. Also, believe in you. There's only one you in this entire world. You're completely unique and special and lovable just as you are. So go out and be you. Flourish and thrive.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.